Islam's teachings on suicide and terrorism is the subject of the new book Martyrs, Innocence, Vengeance, and Despair in the Middle East. My guest is the author, Joyce M. Davis. She's deputy foreign editor at Knight Ridder Newspapers and is a former Middle East editor at NPR. Her book is based on her travels through the Middle East, interviewing the families of suicide bombers, men who train the bombers, and Islamic scholars. How would you describe the difference between the Christian and the Islamic concept of martyr?
Well, Christians generally see martyrdom as a passive act, as one in which a person is willing to die. But the ideal martyrs have not been those who are also kill. Now, that's not to say that's not known in Christian history, because I can think of Joan of Arc as an example right away of a warrior martyr. But by and large, the Christian martyr is a pacifist, someone who allows himself to be persecuted and killed. Islam, on the other hand, has a more aggressive creed with regard to how the faithful are to respond to what they see as evil in the world. Islam does not have a creed such as Christianity that calls for turning the other cheek or doing good to those who are evil or do evil to you. Islam, on the other hand, believes that the faithful have a duty to fight evil, and they must use all means to do that.
Do you think suicide bombings fit the classic Islamic definition of martyr?
Frankly, no. I mean, in the research that I have done, which has included extensive interviews with some of the leading Islamic scholars, the basis of Islam clearly says that any suicide is forbidden. So right off the bat, you're looking at the foundation being weak in support of suicide bombings. If indeed the religion says no suicide, then how can a suicide bomber fit into the realm of Islam? That being said, you do have Islamic scholars, or at least some of the militants, who argue that in some cases, suicide bombers may be justified. And why do they say this? They say this because, first of all, when I talked to Sheikh Yassin of Hamas, the spiritual leader of this militant group in the West Bank, he says that it all depends on the intention. If the intention of the person was not really to commit suicide, but to fight or defend his land, his religion, his people, then indeed it's not suicide. It's an act of war.
Are martyrs supposed to abide by Islam's teachings on just war, and do they fit in with those teachings?
Islam sets very strict standards, very strict rules for war, for just war. Several of those rules are completely outside of the bounds of what many of the suicide bombers, and particularly those who attacked the United States on September 11th, have done. One, Islam forbids attacking innocents, especially women, children, the elderly, the weak, the sick. This is very, very clear. So you would have to look at the actions of suicide bombers who indiscriminately walk into, let's say, a pizzeria, one of the cases I profiled in the book, and realizing that as he walked in, he was walking past baby carriages. You would have to say that he was not given any thought to what Islam's real teachings are on it. Now, on the other side of that argument, you have people who would argue that, but yes, those suicide bombers who attack military targets, who attack government installations, are indeed fitting into the concept of just war in Islam. And for example, with September 11th, I could hear them arguing, if they took the time to do so, that we're going to strike at military installations, the Pentagon, for example. We're going to strike at the foundation of U.S. power and wealth, the Twin Towers. So in their arguments, they probably try to make a case for their actions as being part of just war. But most of the scholars that I've spoken to say that those actions, September 11th, and those that attack innocents, have no basis in the religion.
How much of a debate is there among Islamic scholars in the Gulf region and in the Middle East about whether, you know, suicide bombings and September 11th are justified under Islamic law?
There's a great debate. There's a raging debate going on within Islam on these issues. But overwhelmingly, the Islamic scholars, the mainstream, including many of the militants, I have to be frank with you, including many of the militants, just thought it was an outrage, September 11th. And actually, I did some stories for Knight Ridder to that effect. Frequently, many of the American media, unfortunately, didn't take the time to cover that, and Americans don't know the great outrage amongst the scholars, Islamic scholars, that came after September 11th. But the debate rages. Just what is justified? Is suicide, I mean, in particular, the debate rages with regard to suicide bombers in Israel. That's where the issue is. What happened to the United States? It's generally conceded outside of the bounds, but the debate on whether Palestinians have a right under Islam to use suicide bombers against the Israelis, that's another matter.
What's the difference between what happened in the United States on September 11th and what's happening in Israel with Palestinian suicide bombers in terms of the Islamic debate?
Yes, well, when I've talked to scholars about this, two different issues. One, they say that the action of September 11th occurred outside of what they call the Islamic land. So these people left their own land to attack people outside. And again, the attack seemed to many people to be indiscriminate, to include innocents, including many, many Muslims, as we well know, were killed in those attacks. So that's number one. With the Palestinian-Israeli situation, as they see it, the Palestinians and Muslims in general are fighting to reclaim what they consider to be holy land. Remember, Jerusalem is also holy, not only to Christians and to Jews, but to Muslims as well. So they see that as a demand that they must fight to recapture that land. They also see the Palestinians as a people under siege, as a people who are fighting for their own survival. So in this case, the argument is that they are allowed to use extraordinary means, all means, to defend themselves. Still, though, you have many scholars arguing that to attack women and children, even Israeli women and children who may be occupying, as they see it, your land, that is completely outside of the bounds of what the religion dictates.
You went to the Martyrs Museum in Iran. What's the purpose of the museum? And maybe you could just describe it for us.
It's a very interesting building. When you walk in, of course, there's a deep red carpet that runs the length of this long hall. And that red carpet, of course, symbolizes the blood of the martyrs. So you walk in and there's this somber music that's playing as you walk in. Off to each side of this long hall are different rooms, and with cases, glass cases, in which the Qurans of different martyrs, or their personal effects, or what they were wearing on their last days, are showcased. The center of this museum, of course, is the martyrs are the martyrs who died in the Iran-Iraq War. One of the ones that I profile in this book is a young boy named Hossein Famada, who was, at the age of about 13, was killed when he threw himself under an advancing Iraqi tank and blew it up with himself underneath it. Now, this young boy has just been lauded throughout the country and by, you know, all of the Ayatollahs as a prime example of the nobility of martyrdom. And martyrdom in amongst the Shia in Iran is especially revered because of the history, the foundation of Islam, in which the Prophet's son and grandson were brutally killed, as they see it, in defense of the faith. So this museum is almost, it's a very eerie feeling. But it's also it's somber and it's moving in many ways, as you see that people like this boy deliberately gave their lives for their causes.
The exhibits at this Martyrs Museum are some of them are divided by age, and yes. Like one wall, I guess it is, that's devoted to martyrs is categorized ages 10 and under.
Yes, yes.
That's and really young.
Yes. Well, it is. It is. But you have to understand, these are also not people who deliberately, in some cases, the definition is not someone who was fighting on a battlefield, but who may have been killed within a battle. Right. So these are also young children who were killed as well.
Now you say that Egypt and Israel have the most experience battling Islamic militants and martyrs. What do you think we can learn from their experiences, from what they've done right or what they've done wrong?
Well, one of the things we can clearly learn is that it's impossible to stop it without extraordinary brutality on our part. Why do I say this? I look at the Egyptian model. Egypt fought the militants for, you know, several years, for a decade during the 80s and early 90s. And they used extraordinary means to do so. They are criticized, the government has been criticized for violations of human rights, for basically going into homes and not caring who was there in search of the militants. It was able, we thought at one point, to crush the movements, the two movements that were working there. Al-Ghamal al-Islamiyya was one, and al-Jihad. But what we later found was that they really didn't crush those movements. They sent those people off into exile. People like Ayman Zawahiri fled Egypt and ended up circumnavigating the globe to end up with in Afghanistan with bin Laden. So Egypt basically sent its militants out to wreak even more havoc in the greater world. Israel also has a daily battle with militants. And what we have seen is that the most stringent efforts to cordon off the West Bank, to infiltrate the groups, to bomb the West Bank cities, none of that has been able to stop the suicide bombers from getting through to terrorize. And yes, it is terrorizing, to terrorize Israelis. This is an issue that cannot be battled by military or defensive means alone. It must be done as part of a complex package of solutions, which has to involve a look at what is fueling this kind of rage.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Joyce Davis is the author of Martyrs, Innocence, Vengeance, and Despair in the Middle East. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Anne-Marie Baldonado directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.